Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. And in this hour, we're going to be talking about the Sewage and Water Board. There's a class action lawsuit that's been filed against the Sewage and Water Board for property damages, and a number of council persons have weighed in. Also, there's been a residency requirement in light of the fact that they have had difficulty in trying to hire enough folks to read meters, to work in the field, and to work within the office itself. It kind of makes you wonder as to whether or not that is the most appropriate way to go about this. And one of the council persons that's trying to address that issue is New Orleans City Councilman Joe Geruso. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Hey, Newell. Good to talk to you again.
So tell us about, I think you have introduced something to waive this residency requirement or do away with the residency requirement as it relates to the Sewage and Water Board.
Yes. Yeah, so when we wrote our long letter to Sewage and Water Board in May, we asked them a series of questions, and one of them was about, is residency an impediment to your hiring practices? And really, their own numbers, Newell, are really staggering if you look at it. As we sit here from their letter of June, they have more than 500 open vacancies. In the past 2 years, the board has hired 574 new employees. So almost as fast as they can hire somebody, somebody leaves. Almost 20% of the employees at Sewage and Water Board right now are eligible for retirement. So you could lose another significant portion of your workforce. And then 53% of the workforce has fewer than 5 years of experience. So
Wait. You said 53%?
53% of the current workforce has fewer than 5 years of experience. So you have a cascading series of problems. You have people who are leaving for a variety of reasons. You have a workforce that has been on the job for a long time and can enter to retirement right now if they wanted to. And then you have slightly more than half of the workforce who's been on the job for less than 5 years. So when we saw this large of a problem, we asked about it. Sewage and Water Board has said, we want to take the handcuffs off and let us do everything that we can to try and rectify our personnel situation. And it runs the gamut from people saying it's difficult on the lower tier jobs to live in Orleans Parish and work here, to having people who have more experience from Jefferson, St. Tammany, St. Charles, the surrounding parishes, being able to work here. And frankly, because of some of the civil service requirements as well, finding people who not only have the experience but have the requisite experience to fill some of the real specific positions like chemists for the department too.
Joe, I don't mean to kind of add fuel to the fire, but having managed a 1,500-member organization and knowing a little bit about attrition rates and personnel offices and managed one for a number of years, there's a word bigger than this. I mean, they're in trouble from an employment standpoint.
It's tremendous. And the I guess the silver lining to a degree is that you've had 3 to 4 different leadership teams in a different year. We are going to get a new executive director beginning September 4th, right after Labor Day. This person who I've met with knows that the first challenge coming in is fixing culture and addressing the people and morale issues and restoring credibility to the system. But frankly, part of the problem that we're having is you don't have enough meter readers. You don't have enough people fixing bills. You don't have enough people to do all of the jobs. And when you keep on losing people to compound those problems, it creates huge holes. And you know this from your days of running the sheriff's department. You can take somebody who you've trained and they've worked a long time. it's hard to replace somebody like that automatically. So think about, for example, the people who've worked on the billing issues, who learn the system, who understand how it works, and who get frustrated, or they find a better job, or they have to work fewer hours, whatever it is. You lose all that institutional knowledge and let it walk out the door. We want to try and make sure, while we're trying to correct sewage and water board and help them get where they are, that we give them all the tools and the kit that they need to be successful.
Well, you know, Joe, when you're looking at this kind of jambalaya of this problem here, it really begs of outsourcing some of these disciplines. And I know that's going to be contrary to the prevailing thought of civil service and getting that approved in a civil service board.
Yeah, I think it will be contrary to what's going on. I do think one of the pieces that does happen, though, is there are some functions that services regularly outsource, right? And you said at the top of this segment that there's disputes with the cases in court right now. Well, they have outside lawyers who are handling those.
Right.
And you have outside accountants. So part of the thing I think we ought to be looking at is those areas where we know there's revenue-generating problems, and how can we do some smarter things to fix those? And maybe it means taking the accounting firm that you're using right now, that you have under contract, and using them to help you with some of your revenue problems. And I also think it involves some creative solutions. One of the things the new executive director and I kicked around was, and you mentioned on the show last time in Jefferson Parish, this collection of water, sewer, drainage happens every other month instead of every single month. Well, maybe for certain accounts, for people who can afford to pay, or for commercial customers, we say, look, we'll let you pay every 3 months if you want to. And that way, it gives the agency some relief, and they can use their people to go actually read all the meters instead of relying so heavily on estimations that are wrong.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I continue to hear, and I'm sure you do too, the anecdotal stories just recently the other day of a person, new house, files, they've lived there 4 months, still don't have a bill.
Yeah. There are 9,000 of those accounts right now. And that's one of our frustrations is why are there so many? And why is it taking so much time? And on the other end of the spectrum, I have a constituent who was gone the entire month of July and came home to a $2,700 water bill. It's not possible. And so while they're working to address some of these issues, there's still many holes that need to be filled, and we want to make sure giving them all the resources and people they need to start addressing them are top of the list.
And then, Joe, to add insult to injury, you know, the class action lawsuit is going to serve as, a huge distraction as to kind of getting back on the rails here and moving this train along. I know that they're going to be riddled with pretrial motions, discovery requests. When you're stressed to the max already on your backroom operations of this organization, this can't be anything positive.
It's not. And look, I'm a lawyer. I like lawyers to do okay, but this is one of those instances where the lawyer shouldn't be the one making the money. And you rightfully point out that this is a class action now on the August 2017 claims, but there's other claims, particularly Councilmember Williams was asking about at the last hearing involving CELA, where there is a judgment now as to certain homeowners, and Sewage and Water Board, rather than having these bellwether plaintiffs come through, go through a trial, understand what their damages are, fix a model that says, all right, we're going to work on making these claims go a lot faster and paying them off in due time, is delaying. And it does a couple of different things. Number one, it only increases your legal costs. Those don't go away. And number two, it really works on fairness to the people who were hurt, who are delayed in receiving their money. And, you know, they get fed up with the system and how it's not working for them, and they feel like, as a ratepayer, my home isn't being taken care of, and I'm not being treated right or fairly.
Yeah, I mean, when you put the combination of a poorly run revenue cycle, and then you have these extraordinary liabilities and or costs that are hitting at the same time. This is a horrible jambalaya, and I'm not sure there's enough Nexium to calm this down.
Well, the hope is that with the new...
I mean, I hate to sound like I'm crying wolf, but I mean,
no,
I just...
it's reasonable. And I think what you're giving voice to is what we hear from people in the community all the time. I go to neighborhood meetings almost every single night, the beginning weeks of the month, and sewage and water board is always a topic where people shake their heads in frustration. And there's just a disconnect between what is being offered by government and what should be done. And I think people don't want the bears. They want to get their water. They want to make sure things work. And we want solutions that make sense for everybody. And Councilmember Williams pressed Sewage and Water Board very hard last time to start thinking about a better solution on the CLS side. We're going to continue to press them on that, and we're going to continue to press them on this August 2017 flooding as well, because there has to be a process that works much faster, that gives the ratepayers some comfort, and that keeps the cost down on Sewage and Water Board too.
Joe, can you stay with us a few more minutes?
Sure.
All right, we're going to get to this break. We'll be right back with Councilman Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Councilman, talking about the issues surrounding the Sewage and Water Board. Stay with us. We're back, and we're talking to Joe Geruso, member of the New Orleans City Council. And Joe, I was reading in the news the other day that the Sewage and Water Board had fired 19 employees for theft of brass after an OIG investigation back in December 2017. They issued a report. And I was really struck by some of the findings of the commission, where they used the inefficiencies of the Sewage and Water Board as a mitigating factor to an employee's theft. And I just wanted to get your reaction to that. I mean, disposition of surplus property has always been an issue for public entities. I get it, you know. And a lot of that brass was actually, you know, originally Sewage and Water Board material that was used on jobs, the stuff that was removed, that was broken and taken to the salvage yard. And I think in this particular case, he got over $300 in return for it. But the commission went out of its way to say that the Sewage and Water Board did not establish that the sale of the scrap brass in 2015 had a negative financial impact on it, because they just used to throw it away in a dumpster. And I think about all of the other inefficiencies. I hope this doesn't lead to where somebody can just not pay their water bill because the Sewage and Water Board doesn't do a good job of collecting water bills.
Well, and you raised sort of a really good point, Newell, which is, if you see things that are going wrong within the agency, why do I have to do my part too, right?
Yeah.
It's like when somebody starts showing up late at work, then all the other employees start showing up late because the boss thinks that's okay. And it's our frustration with certain of the things that we've seen happening, the brass being one of the most egregious examples of items being taken. But another one is the fact that people were creating these fake handicap parking tags to park in front of St. Joseph Street. Now, look, I'm sympathetic to the fact that many of the people who work there don't get paid very much. I'm sympathetic to the fact that they don't have a lot of parking. But two wrongs don't make a right. And you need to make sure your own house is in order to have sort of the moral clarity to be able to tell the ratepayers that they need to be doing their part as well. And it's at both ends of the spectrum. Sewage and Water Board has to be doing a good job internally and making sure they've reduced their fraud and abuse. And at the other end of the spectrum, we need to make sure ratepayers aren't gaming the system and not paying their bills.
It just seems to me that the commission is creating a guiding light that's flawed. And this is bigger than just the Sewage and Water Board, right? I mean, the Civil Service Commission governs any number of employees within the confines of city government.
Well, and there's another recent report, to maybe use your phrase, add more fuel to the fire, that one of the employees who was fired for the brass issue is now can be rehired. So, there's issues all across the board. And what I think what you want from any agency, whether it's Sioux Indian Water Board or otherwise, is to have good policies and procedures in place that set forth very clear, articulated rules about what is expected of them, particularly when you are the guardian steward of ratepayer funds, making sure those are being utilized properly and that people aren't profiting from taking away from what we all contribute to.
You know, I'm not trying to make light of the situation, but I think the new guy comes on September 1st.
That's correct.
I look forward to that date. And I think,
yes,
I think you probably, if I may be so bold as to suggest that you do too. And I think a lot of the people in the city and the surrounding area do as well.
We're looking forward to seeing Mr. Corbin. We think he'll be a breath of fresh air and hopefully somebody who can bring some real leadership to the agency and look at all of the problems with fresh eyes as an outsider and start saying, all right, here are the ways that we can start cleaning all this up.
And I'm equally impressed with the amount of energy that the city council has brought to this issue and continues to do so. I think it's necessary and, you know, congratulations to y'all for doing this, because I really think you need to bring this forward, and it looks like that y'all will continue to be the hound dog on this trail.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, and it's definitely a team effort, so I applaud Council Members Williams, Moreno, Banks, Paul.
Thanks so much, Joe. We're back, and on the Blue Runner opinion poll, with the obvious shortage of manpower, should the Sewage and Water Board drop the residency requirement? 100% of the respondents say yes. One of the other text messages came in, you know, they suggested, well, what should they have done? Not sue? That wasn't the purpose of me raising that point. Just to make the point that they're already stressed and trying to manage the day-to-day operations, and then all of a sudden they've got this situation with this class action lawsuit where there's going to be a lot of requests that are coming in that are necessary for the prosecution of the claim. I get it. It's just going to make a bad situation worse. I'm not placing blame on anybody. I'm just pointing out the obvious that, you know, in order for them to be able to click on all cylinders, they're going to have to really get all over this situation in a quick way, in an efficient way, in order to be able to deal with all of these issues, because in a very short period of time, they're going to be having a judge breathing down their neck, making sure that they adhere to timelines and things of that nature as it relates to that particular litigation. Let's go to line one, talk to Bobby. Bobby, what say you?
Hey, Sheriff. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon to you as well. Welcome to the show.
Your son is a brutal here. I'm originally from Boston. Listen, I just wanted to chime in on, I think you had a previous call on the last segment, Tom from Gentilly. As a conservative, this is the first time I happen to agree with him.
We don't agree often. I got a text, it was part of a mutual admiration society. That rarely happens.
Yeah, but he did make some credible statements and points.
Absolutely.
I voted for the president in the general election, but not in the primary. But anyway, Omarosa is nothing but a wrecking ball, and this falls on the president for his hirings. He's made some bad hirings, as Tom pointed out, and like Paul Manafort, obviously. And there's a program on Sunday evening that I watch. It's called The Next Revolution with Steve Hilton.
Yeah.
And he's got a segment. It comes on at 8 o'clock our time. He's got a segment that comes on the last 15 minutes about draining the swamp, and he goes after Democrats, Republicans, everybody. And the president needs to keep his promise and actually drain the swamp. Omarosa has had some personal conflicts with Katrina Peterson, who works in the White House. So she's a wrecking ball, but this falls on the president. He needs to step up and focus on and vet people for these positions, like you wanted to vet immigrants coming into the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Yeah, Bobby, let me ask you something. Let's go back to Manafort for a moment. You know, the Manafort decision to hire Manafort, I'm willing to give the president a pass on that one, because he was kind of a second-tier campaign. And he ended up assembling a lot of people from other folks' campaign. And the reality was he didn't have a large pool to draw from, because if you recall, he trashed almost every one of his Republican peer candidates in the primary system. And as a result, many of those folks refused to go work for him. So he didn't have a wide pool to choose from. Having said that, he still chose the guy, and he had a history. And
exactly.
You know, you have to live with those hires, and
yeah.
You know, and that's why I agree with Tom, to a certain respect on that, and you as well. I came out at the beginning of the hour, and I put the blame right on the president. You're suffering the consequences of no one's actions but your own.
Absolutely.
And that's why an appropriate vetting process is key, and especially if they're going to be touching the West Wing on a daily basis, even more so. Thanks for calling in, Bobby. Appreciate the call. Got to get to a break. Give us a call, 260-1870, or text us at 870-870. With the obvious shortage of manpower, should the Sewage and Water Board drop the residency requirement? They're vacillating. 100% of the respondents say yes. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL. We're back. We've been talking about Sewage and Water Board. We've been talking about Omarosa. Let's go to line one. Talk to Jeannie. What say you, Jeannie?
I was just thinking, as you were saying, nobody vetted Omarosa. There needed to be someone of color that was highly recognizable, or he would have been accused of leaving the people of color out of his cabinet.
Well,
that's my opinion and why I think that he did.
Well, I mean, obviously you want to have a representative group of folks, there advising you on any number of issues. But that's not, I don't see that as an excuse for her. You know, the thing that kind of, and I don't know, let me ask you this. All the while she's doing this taping, what I've not heard anybody say, her book's written. She was writing a book while she's working for the man.
Yes.
I think that's disingenuous on her part. I think that's malintent, and I think that shows evil in her heart. I don't know how anybody can say this is a good person. You don't do that. You got to respect the office of the presidency. If you don't respect the man, then she should have left a year ago.
That's right.
You know,
I agree.
And that's the problem that I'm having squaring this up. But by the same token, he's to blame. You know, he brought her in to his administration, his house. Not meaning the White House, his house of the administration, and that's an issue that's the blame that he's going to have to bear, and he's suffering the consequences.
He is definitely that, but she is also an absolute traitor because she signed an agreement. Everybody signs an agreement. You have to keep that quiet. You can't talk about things
like that. It's hard for that office to function if you're worrying about people taping everybody within the organization.
That's...
And you want to have open and transparent conversations. You can agree to disagree, and I'm sure there's much disagreement. You know, kind of my approach was I surrounded myself with people smarter than me. I didn't want them to tell me that I was right on every issue. I suspect that Trump is a little different because he keeps telling people, you know, I really like Omarosa. She said some really nice things about me. So what?
Uh-huh.
That's not what she's hired to do.
That's right.
If you're brilliant on the issue, she should tell you you're brilliant. But if you're a dumb, they ought to be able to say that well, right, Jeannie?
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely
right.
Well,
thank you so much, Jeannie, for calling in. Have a great day. Let's go to line two, Jerry on the West Bank. What say you, Jerry?
How you doing, Noel?
Good. Doing great.
I had a comment about the residency requirement, the Sewage and Water Board.
Yes, sir.
I think resident requirements are absolutely ridiculous.
Me too.
For example, you always hear that an executive is going to do a nationwide search. Mayor Cantrell hired the chief financial officer of the city from Detroit. She just made another high-level appointment for someone from Washington, D.C. But yet, if you're the guy with the shovel to dig a hole to lay a pipe in for the sewage and water board, you have to be a city resident. It's ridiculous. Ostensibly, that is so the employees will have loyalty to the city, and that's really a bunch of baloney because the...
Well, it certainly is when you find yourself in crisis, right?
Well,
is that a no-brainer, low-hanging fruit? I can't hire enough people. There's not enough. You know, I need a bigger pool. What do? You get rid of the residency requirement.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it was created supposedly, you know, so people have loyalty to the city. All it was created for was to trap city employees, to force them to pay property taxes and sales taxes in the city, because so many better paying jobs were moving out of the city in droves. It was created several mayors ago. I think it was Dutch Morrell, or perhaps Mark.
I think it was Mark, actually.
As a law enforcement officer, I'm sure you're aware of this, but you know, after 911, the New York Police Association did a study on the first responders who died in that tragedy. I think there were somewhere between 400 and 500 total. And when they did the study, they found that 85% of them, most of which were firefighters, did not live within the five boroughs of New York.
Right.
And so that proved that their dedication has nothing to do with where they live.
No, absolutely not. They're in it for a lot of a host of other reasons, not for, you know, and they're well-intentioned. So I agree with you 100% on that issue. Jerry, thanks so much for calling in. Let's go to line three, talk to Terrell on the West Bank. What say you, Terrell?
Hey, how you doing, Noel?
Doing
I like
great.
To ask questions to people in general. Now, when Omarosa was saying all good things for Trump, what he was doing, everything was fine, they was happy with it. But now, since she come out with this, why is America mad?
No, I look, she's entitled to her opinion of the president. I just think it's disingenuous and, you know, and she in malintent on her part, where she's writing a book while she's working for the guy.
Well, you do America think she's the only one recording conversations?
Oh, I don't know. She's the only one that's been dumb enough to reveal that she is.
Why is it dumb?
I think Republicans and Democrats alike are alarmed by the fact that she would tape the chief of staff, the president's family, her peers, supervisors and others, I guess, obviously, for the sake of posterity and writing a book. She just got terminated Friday and she's already got a book release. I suspect the word got out that she was writing this book and he was going to publish this book. I don't believe the president when he said he didn't know. I think he knew. I think he knew well that she was going to get terminated. Conduct yourself that way. I mean, there has to be some sanctity, you know, whether it's the West Wing and the entity's interests, you, me, the American taxpayers, our safety and security is tantamount. And Miss Amorosa's intentions and her desires are inconsequential in the overall scheme of things.
Okay, one more thing. Hello?
Yes.
One more thing about the residency. People coming on your radio show talking about New Orleans residency. What about Jefferson Parish?
We didn't have a residency requirement.
The sheriff office?
Nope, did not.
You need to go back and some research that when I was on it, they had one.
No, we did not. You had to be registered to vote. We haven't had a residency requirement since, I know for a fact, since 1980.
Okay. But like I said, you know, a whole bunch of hypocrites out there. Let Omarosa say what she got to say. Donald Trump, live with it.
Oh, well, I blamed him. He hired her. She would have never made it through any vetting process that I would have been part of. I can promise you that. Got to get to a break. We'll be right back. 260-1870 or Texas at 870-870. This is Newell on WWL. Scoot joins me in the studio. What do we have coming up next?
Crime is down in New Orleans, and Police Chief Michael Harrison will join us on the air right after 1:30.
Oh, that is good news.
It is good news, but the perception is that it's worse than it really is, and that is the media's fault, and we'll get
into
all that.
You think that's all part of the social network thing? I mean, we have access to just too much information, too quick, too fast, all the time. All righty, Scoot's got a great show coming up. Stay tuned. Chance, now it's time for your chance to win $1,000 in the Intercom National Cash Contest. The code word this hour is GREET. Text GREET, that's GREET, to 72881. 72881. Text now and you can win $1,000 cash. Listen for the next code word just before the top of the hour every hour, now through 6 p.m. $1,000 is up for grab. Win it for your wallet. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive. Thanks to everyone and their participation. Scoot's up next. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.